Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited to share this special multi-guest episode with you today, but first, this is the last week to take advantage of my super exclusive group training on Pinterest and visual marketing. That's right, I'm getting ready to shut the doors on enrollment. It will never be offered at this rate again. So if you'd like to take your Pinterest and visual marketing to the next level, go to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. I'm very excited to share with you today a special group episode that I was able to participate in titled How Marketers Use Social Media. I was invited by Rebecca Radice, Global Brand Ambassador for Post Planner, to sit down and talk about the newly released Social Media Marketing Industry Report that's put out by Social Media Examiner, along with my colleagues Peg Fitzpatrick, award-winning blogger and social media influencer, and Eric Fisher, Social Media Manager for Social Media Examiner, as well as the host of Beyond the To-Do List, an award-winning podcast. So if you haven't downloaded the report yet, you need to go do that now at socialmediaexaminer.com. There are some incredible insights on how marketers are using social media. We talked about what social platforms marketers will focus on in the future. Live video, anyone? The top benefits of social media marketing and how time invested affects results, and the most common forms of content for social media marketing. I really felt privileged to be able to sit down and chat with these folks who are in the trenches of social media. We could have talked for hours, and I felt like everyone shared some great actionable tips, and I can't wait to share it with you. So let's jump right into my conversation with Rebecca Radice, Peg Fitzpatrick, and Eric Fisher.
All right, guys. So we are here ready to talk about how marketers use social media to grow their business. I am Rebecca Radice. I am joined by all these lovely people. Hey, get your Snapchat on. Is that what's going on there?
I was sharing the last 30 seconds, and I always have these horrible pictures. Do you ever look at the Twitter ones with Garrett?
Yes, Diana Adams will take a screenshot, and inevitably my mouth is open. I look ridiculous. I'm like, exactly. I'm like, have you ever caught a good good picture? No.
Not on me. I like the idea of it, though.
Yeah, I do too. No, I love the 30 seconds and the whole video idea. But yeah, so I'm joined by Peg Fitzpatrick, Jeff C., Eric Fisher. We're all here to talk about the Social Media Examiner, their recent findings of the 2016 Social Media Marketing Industry Report, and how social media marketers are using social media right now within their business. I'm going to talk about some of the top takeaways from that report, and then also focus on some of the key processes, tactics that people are using within their business that are really working right now, and what you should be focused on, and what you can implement as well. So what you can implement into your business. I know we're halfway through 2016, which kind of boggles my mind. I'm like, how did we get to June?
I don't know. When did this happen?
Yeah, it feels like we were just talking about, you know, January 1st and setting our goals, and now
here we are. It's a good time to review all this stuff from there, because we have six more months to kick it out to surpass our goals.
That's right.
You essentially have June to unpack the report, figure out your strategy, and then implement it July through December.
I like it. That's a good way to look at it. So. Yeah. All right. So let's start with the kind of the top takeaways from the report. Eric, I thought you could kick us off and sure. give us a rundown of what those look like.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, well, there's a reason we're standing here doing a video show is that video has become the thing you have to do. And if you're not doing it, it's the thing everybody's saying, I am going to do it, or I'm figuring out how to do it. We're all doing it from our phones. We're doing it from our desktop. We're sharing it from our desktop to other places on the desktop. It's just, it is the thing. And especially live video.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've definitely seen that, haven't we? Just in the last 6 to 8 months, I think the huge ramp up in the usage of live streaming video. And I expect that that's going to, even those stats are going to change dramatically between now and next year as Facebook Live becomes more and more critical to businesses. Would you agree?
Oh, totally.
I just want
to say, like, set the context here. Look at it. Like, Meerkat was barely a baby last year in March 2015. Yeah. And then came Periscope. And then late last year came Facebook Live. And even now it's still new. And, you know, and now we're seeing kind of the shakedown of where all that's going to go.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to remember how long I've had Facebook Live. It's been a long time. I had it like really, really early, but nobody else had it. So I didn't abuse my ultimate power too much. and plus people didn't really know what it was. So I would test it out and use it. But, you know, I have to say the saddest thing about this, I'm happy about all these platforms. It makes me so sad that Google Plus has had Hangouts and they just weren't able to pull it together. Like if I was at Google, I would be like, how did we miss this boat? Weren't we the ones that were at the dock? I mean,
right.
I hate to say it killed Google Plus because I'm so sick of those conversations, but it just makes me sad that they weren't able. I mean, they have things now and they're adding to it, but it's like no one talks about it because all this like creating shows and being on video, everybody on Google Plus did this like 2 years ago.
Right.
Like this is kind of like deja vu.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we're reinventing as that next platform comes out, right? It's, we all shifted off of Hangouts over to Blab. And now there's that whole shakeup happening again within the live streaming world. And it definitely speaks to change and evolving and staying agile within your marketing too, how critical that's going to be going forward.
I think it's really cool that I miss Google Plus and I agree that I'm sad that it stopped, but like you had
it's
said,
it's still there.
But it trained us. I mean, the people who were on Google Plus and saw the advantage of live video and having these shows and stuff and made the switch, I think are reaping the benefits. There is a skill set that you develop on how to talk to people and to ask questions during a show and how to multitask when things go in the crapper. You know, learn those things. It does, even on Blab, and especially on Blab.
That would be the blabber.
Yeah. And so I think those people, because I think, you know, everybody, it's like the gold rush right now. Everybody wants to do a live show. And just like on Google Plus, when we saw those come out, the crappy ones sunk to the bottom and then the good ones continued on. And the same thing's going to happen on Facebook. And the people who have already kind of developed those skills, I think are going to be really enjoying some of the benefits of that.
Well, the biggest difference between Google Hangouts and Facebook Live is Facebook Live, you're by yourself.
Right.
So you're not interviewing other, unless you're there with them with the phone, which we've done that before. But usually people are by themselves or they're in an event or something, where a Google Hangout, you would have like the panel and the show. So it's more Blab like this. So it's interesting how each platform does their own little thing. And Periscope, you know, is the same, like you're by yourself talking to yourself. It's very hard to be entertaining, educational, you know, interesting when you're all by yourself. It's so much easier when you have other people to like harass, laugh at, laugh with, you know, something, ask a question to if you forget what you're going to say. Remember we were talking about that, like they can fill in your sentence, hopefully. So there's a lot of differences between, you know, each one. It'd be great to see like a chart of like, you could do this one here. Like I haven't actually seen that, which is surprising.
That's a good one.
That is the best thing. Somebody make that graphic quick.
That's a good call.
Exactly. I mean, get on it.
You know, Facebook's going to come out with the inevitability that you can have more than you can bring someone else in on your Facebook Live and schedule them even. And once that happens, I mean, game over for Blab. Sorry. Yeah.
They haven't. There's nothing in there now. And in the Mentions app specifically, they will not add any scheduling stuff. Like, we've asked so many times. Guys particularly, like, talks to the Facebook team. He's like, how about scheduling? And they're like,
we want people to know we are going to go live on our page at this time and get a notification of it if they click get notification or something like that.
I think with them they're getting ready to do the morning show. Facebook is.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that stuff's going to come. I mean, Mari Smith is she has been thinking, she thinks it's like you, Eric, that it's just going to, it's a matter of time before they do it.
Yeah.
So I think
definitely. They want to be broadcasters. I mean, if they want it to be the next platform. Media platform. And it is, they've gotten everybody on there. All the big, if you look in your sidebar now, you can see if someone big is live, like CNN, or, if there's breaking news, they're showing you the live streams of who's on. So it's definitely changing. If you're not good on camera as a marketer, you better really up your game quick, mm-hmm. because soon all the really, the real newscasters are all going to be on. So yeah.
That's a great point too, is get prepared before it happens.
And I don't think skills.
I think you don't need to stress too much that I'm going to be competing against, Good Morning America, because I think that people are interested in your story and your take on things. And I think those smaller audiences, I think there's going to be a point where I won't be able to compete with Good Morning America, no matter how many people like my beard. It's just not going to happen. But I can have my own little group that want to hear what I have to say. And every marketer, I think, can do that and tell their spin on things. And they can still grow a channel. And I still think it's going to be worthwhile to do video. So I think people shouldn't be like, oh, I'm too... I'll never be like that. And I think they should just try it and see.
I think that's such a good idea.
But you look like you've lost a lot of weight. So maybe your channel's going to, really be like, you're going to be the next, I don't know.
It's what. Special filter. It's like Snapchat. It's a thinning filter.
Like my flower crown.
Yeah. Yes. I left mine outside. But.
Well, and I think that's a great point, because don't you think, with all that's coming at us these days and with all of the live streaming that's going on now, it's only going to increase, which increases that, FOMO, increases that internal, I guess what we tell ourselves is, I have to be like this person, or I have to up my game to be more like my competition. But at the end of it all, it's about staying your own lane. Focus on what you're doing. Focus on what you're talking about, what you're sharing. Because like you said, Jeff, people are tuning in to see your beard, to hear your story. and they're not going to find that anywhere else. And I think that's something we really have to stay focused on, especially as things do continue to evolve, is what is the value we're bringing to our audience, and how are we going to serve that up to them on a daily basis and not get lost in the noise of social media, thinking that to compete, we have to be just like everybody else. Peg, I know this is something you have strong opinions about. We talk about this a lot.
Yeah. I shared a thing this morning. I heard a quote, and it was actually from Shonda Rhimes, I think. It's paraphrased, but it's be a sun, not a planet. And people were kind of confused about that, but be a sun, be the shining thing. Don't revolve around. I see it all the time with Gary Vaynerchuk. Everybody is so busy sucking up to him, trying to be the next Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah. And Gary does awesome stuff, but don't be Gary Vaynerchuk. Correct. He doesn't want you to be Gary Vaynerchuk either. Be yourself. Be your own son, people. Yeah. Don't make your show like someone else. That's what makes it boring, honestly. Right. That's what makes... That if you don't have anything to say yet, then wait until you do. But don't just go live and try to copy what someone else is doing. It's not cool. I mean, it looks foolish.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing I was going to say, going back to the marketing report, Rebecca, was that so many people are interested in video and then live video. If you're a person who provides tools or blogging about that kind of stuff, there's a huge opportunity from that report. If you're looking at what content, what people wants, is to start helping them with that. If you enjoy helping other people learn new platforms, I mean, Ian Anderson Gray did a great job on one of his a blog post that he did where he jumped on and showed how people could use OBS, which is Open Broadcast Studio, I think, to go to Facebook Live and produce a blab over there. And so he jumped right on that and he got everybody talking about that that article. And so there's people, if you're providing that kind of content, you know, look, there's a big space where people want your information right now, courses, you know, anything. So I think that was one of the takeaways that I got from the report was that people are hungry for this stuff right now. And if you can teach it, man, you've got a real opportunity there.
Yeah, that was similar to that. One of my takeaways was for as advanced as I feel we are as marketers, as a community, people still are really struggling to keep up and to evolve. Yeah. So, yeah, if you can teach it, if you can train it, if you can help others, you have a huge leg up.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. There's always somebody that's new.
There's always new people. There's, you know, one of the things that was interesting was in that report said that, you know, new people are joining Facebook. I'm like, who?
I know, right?
but there are. I mean, that's the reality of that is there are. Like, I've been working in the same industry for almost 7 years, and they're still like, so do you think Facebook is going to be a thing? Like, should we do? And I'm like, yep. 6 billion people say it is. Like,
right. My brother actually just joined Facebook a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
it's new for some people. But even the people like us that have been around, it's evolving constantly evolving.
Well,
so being agile is super important.
That's actually another good jumping off point from the report is the fact that Facebook is still seen as the most important network.
By a long shot.
Yeah,
which is really interesting, isn't it? For all of the complaining and whining that we've heard about jump and ship and pay to play and organic reach and yada, yada, yada. People still recognize that it's the big boy on the block. And I think for most businesses, when we're talking about whether it's live streaming or ads or anything else, you got to go where your audience is. And people are still hanging out. They feel the most comfortable over on Facebook. Yeah.
Not only that, but 67% of the marketers in the report say they are going to increase their Facebook marketing activities, despite all those complaints.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you don't like change, then you shouldn't be a marketer on social media.
I mean,
that's a fact. I mean, you're just going to have to roll with the punches because there is nothing out there right now that is going to stay the same in 6 months. Just not.
The time frame when things change now is even faster. But we'll have these periods where nothing changes, and then like all these things change. I actually, Mike Alton's in here. I freaked out this morning because I went to go use one of my favorite apps for Instagram, the Grandma app. Totally gone.
What?
It's gone? I have it on my phone still.
No, you try it.
Oh, gosh.
It's not in the iTunes store anymore. They removed it. Like,
oh, wow.
But like,
yeah, just like that. Like, boom.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, where'd you go?
I still have it. It's still working.
Okay, well, let me know if it keeps working for you because it's deleted from the iTunes store. Yes, if it does, I'm going to come over and share it with you.
The Instagram API disabled a bunch of apps yesterday,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah. So it might work right now, but it's going to go away. So that's the kind of thing, like, as marketers, we're all relying on everything that is like cloud-based, which is one of the things my husband says all the time. Like, what do you make? What do you sell? What do you, you know, it's like we have no physical thing. We're relying on tools on our phone. We're relying on the Wi-Fi to run things. We're relying on even WordPress where we own our own blogs. Those can, knock on wood, hopefully they don't, but they can crash or things can happen. It's like this, when things are all going great, we take it for granted, but you know, there is a lot of balls in the air all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it brings up another great point, which is you can't put all your eggs in one basket either.
Right.
You've got to diversify. And I think that was part of the report as well. Just how many marketers said they were integrated at this point, that they had integrated both online and traditional, and feeling more fully rounded is kind of the takeaway I got from that. Was that yours as well, Eric?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, and if you're not tying analog to digital, then what's the point? Like, people are analog. They just we've just been learning to connect with each other in a digital way, but that doesn't mean we get to forget analog altogether. So, you know, you gotta put them together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and again, it's knowing where your audience is and going there. And we've talked a lot about live streaming and Facebook Live, but the usage of YouTube was also at the top for a lot of marketers. So that feels like kind of the old man on the block, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
At this point.
But even they have been working on, I mean, they already have to a certain degree, you know, quote unquote, live video capabilities, but they too are, you know, as we've reported each week on our show, is like, they're doing the thing where they're building the stuff up in the background and then they're going to suddenly launch something. And I think they're playing it safe for now to kind of see how things shake out.
They missed the boat on part of it. You know, they're sitting there like, oh, I would want to be the guy in the meeting with my boss saying, so, you know, Peggy, why didn't you anticipate this was going to happen? We owned video. Now Facebook kind of is owning video. Like, how did that happen?
I went to speak at a junior high the other day, and we were talking about, you know, they were wanting to know what should we learn to, you know, be prepared. And I'm like, I don't know, beaming stuff in each other's minds when you get. But the thing with the video stuff, I said, the first thing, you know, YouTube and Facebook or whatever comes next, they're all going to be a place where you can put your content. So learn how to edit. And that's what I would tell, you know, marketers today. If, you know, they're trying, you know, they want to increase their how to do Facebook because they're interested, or not video because they're interested into it. I'd learn how to edit and then do that. Because once you learn how to do that stuff, it doesn't matter where you're going to put your video. You can, you know, you'll be able to put it wherever you want to, but it needs to be edited, and you don't want to rely on somebody else if you can do that yourself. So that's what I told the kids. But I think learning some of those base things and then trying to figure out where you're going to put it, because it was a wide margin how many people wanted to know about video and then live video on that report. Mm-hmm. So I just think that, I mean, that's going to be a huge thing in the future.
Well, Facebook is definitely favoring. They literally came out and said, you know, Facebook live video is what is getting the most advantage in the news feed right now. And I don't remember them ever telling us exactly what they, you know, they make a change and then we all like go, oh, shoot, photos don't work anymore. Oh no, quotes, you know, just straight text things don't work anymore. What now? Like usually we're trying to figure out, but they did come right out and say that. So that's a huge change. You know, of course it won't stay. It'll evolve to something else, but
I was gonna say we were looking at this the other day, and I was looking at the Facebook Insights for Social Media Examiner, and it goes 90 days, and out of the last 90 days the top four posts that we have are the last four live Friday morning shows we've done.
Interesting, isn't it, how things have so quickly changed.
And so segueing to like paid things, because that's the other thing, the pay to play aspect that people freak out about. It's not as scary as people think it is. I mean, aside from the fact that Facebook advertising is complicated, I don't enjoy Business Manager at all. But as far as I just don't like
There's
it.
There's a huge learning curve, I think, for most people. Yeah, I think for most people, it's overwhelming. At least the business owners I've talked to.
There's that Facebook blueprint where you can go and learn things, which is very helpful. Mm-hmm. If people need help, that's great. But it's really not expensive to do the ads. That's the thing. You can put a very small amount of money, and as long as you have your targeting and everything set up properly, you can get really good interaction. And I did one for my blog post this week, and I don't know what I clicked, but it actually did it for Instagram and Facebook on the same ad, and it's like killing it on Instagram. So it's actually a dark post on Instagram, but it was a Facebook post, and it's getting tons of interaction.
Yeah, awesome option.
I did the same thing. And something else people need to check out, because we're talking about video earlier and the paid stuff, is the video view ads. Because I did a little like Marvel kind of logo thing for a course I was doing. And I thought I'd do an experiment and try. I think I was doing $10 a day for 4 days. And you have the option to do it, the video ads onto Instagram.
Yeah.
I got 2 new people signed up for my course just from doing that little $10 a day thing.
That's awesome.
And it came out to like, I think 8 or 9 cents a view, which is incredible.
It's such
a good value. I think people freak out about it and they think, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay and it's going to be so much money. And you know, for $40, you got 2 new. But, you know, that was a very excellent return.
We got really used to not paying for anything.
Now we have to pay for everything. You know, really, you're paying for all the different services. There used to be a lot of stuff that was free. But now it's not free, and that's okay.
But if you learn how to target, I'm not just throwing it out to everybody. I have like a cookie on my site where, you know, I can target people who've looked at my website for the last, you know, 180 views or whatever it is. And so 80 days. And so, I mean, so if you're smart, you can really kill it, I think, on Facebook.
Retargeting is awesome. Yeah, retargeting. That's what the big brands do. You know, you go look at a purse on the Coach, you know, site, and then all day on Facebook, you'll see little Coach ads.
I hate it
when
my purse is all day.
I know.
No, Jeeps is the same thing. When I looked at it, when I was going to buy a Jeep, everything on the sidebar turned into me to buy a Jeep. So
yeah, I wish it knew when you actually made the purchase, so it would stop showing you. But
we're talking about ads, and it's interesting to see, Eric, the gigantic difference between how marketers are using Facebook ads versus Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking 86% versus 18%, which is insane. But I will say this. Kim Reynolds from Social Media Examiner, she started near the end of when we were posting or pushing the Social Media Marketing Society. She started using Twitter ads, and she was actually seeing a pretty decent return. So I think she actually told me, she said, I'm going to jump all in on Twitter ads. Like, I'm going to learn everything I can about them, because from the little bit I did, I got a pretty decent return. And I thought, okay, great. Perfect. Let's do this. So,
yeah, they're easier to set up than Facebook.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I was going to ask what you guys think is the reason behind that. Why would more people use Facebook ads as opposed to Twitter? Do you think it's just a lack of understanding the comfort level with Facebook?
I think first and foremost, it's the fact that Facebook's the largest network. I think it's plain to see. And then two, you hear a lot more about Facebook ads, and they've been around a lot longer and have this just built out system and keep adding to it as they go. So, and the fact that Instagram is integrated into that as well. Twitter, however, you know, everybody's still kind of doing that. Twitter's gotten to the point where they're kind of like, is it going to stay, you know, like Google Plus was for a while. So I don't know. People are probably hesitant, but at this point, I don't know.
I still see a good return from Twitter. Here's the thing. I spend a lot of time on Facebook for me and my clients, and with my blog, I kind of do equal sharing everywhere. Pinterest, I get like 35% of my traffic from social is from Pinterest. Facebook is behind Twitter, Pinterest, and sometimes LinkedIn even. So I try, you know, so I don't see as much click through personally from Facebook, even though I'm working on it all the time, which is frustrating. Yeah. And Twitter, I do see more. I do see more traffic from Twitter. So I think the fact that people are ignoring it is just because they're scared to try something new. That's what I'm going to guess, because Twitter ads are easier than Facebook ads. You just do keywords. It's a lot, you know, that you can do demographics, you know, all kinds of, have you guys done them? Have you guys actually set them up?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I agree. They're much easier. I think there was also that perception that there wasn't much you could do in the way of targeting, so that you could not get as narrow or as specific in your market. And that's really changed too.
It's
something that I would definitely encourage people to jump into. It is interesting, isn't it? When you take a look at, you know, Business Manager, even the Twitter Analytics tool, it's very similar, in my opinion, to Google Analytics, which are incredibly robust, and anywhere else we'd be paying to use those tools. And yet people aren't taking advantage of those.
I love Twitter Analytics.
I prefer those over Facebook.
Yeah,
I do too. It shows you like the popular tweets. I always get great information when I click there. I think we're just, Twitter just isn't the hot thing anymore. I think we're all, four of us are still there and we put effort into it. But I don't know. I still like it a lot. I mean, I feel like I've put years of work into making it, you know, built it, but, and I still get traffic from it. Yeah. So I don't know. It's hard to say why.
Do you think
the new people are like, I need Snapchat. I need to be on Instagram. And
jeez.
Yeah. Well, do you think the new changes with Twitter, with, you know, making it easier for people and not having the links, the images count, will that help, you know, get new people on it? Or do you think it doesn't really help new people get on and start using the platform?
If that's inside baseball, like that only matters to people who've been there, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody new is going to care.
Exactly. Yeah. I would agree. I mean, to them, what does it matter? And I think the perception, unfortunately, has radically shifted too with Twitter to, you know, what's the point of being there? Why even bother? You know, why am I spending my time here? And I think we saw a huge exodus of bloggers, authors, writers that were just simply using the platform, you know, for promotional purposes. And it's just continued as we see less and less and less new people adopt the platform. So yeah, I would agree with that point, Peg, that, you know, it's kind of that insider conversation of, we know what we're missing out on or what we're gaining, but does anybody else really care?
Well, and to
I
that
do point, think it's a good change, though.
Yeah,
I do too.
To that point, there was breaking news I was looking at right before the show, and it was saying that Snapchat has more daily users than Twitter does.
It does.
So,
and people use Snapchat. If you look at the Snapchat stats, they're crazy. Like, the percentage of people that use it every day is really high compared to other platforms.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Mike's been predicting both of those. Yes, he's been projecting. And in the report, it confirms it. Like, he says it's on a growth trajectory. Jeez, these words. That only 5% right now are using it, of marketers, but 16% plan on increasing their activity, and 28% want to know more about it.
Yeah. I think
there's no click to buy. The marketing value is still not there. Unless you have $750,000 to do the little snap to be in discovery, which I've been saving up. I'm not there yet, but eventually I'll be in discovery.
I mean,
it's,
I would,
big brands.
As a video guy, I would love to play with the tall video option.
Right.
Because there's some cool stuff like those that you watch BuzzFeed and their discovery thing, and, you know, National Geographic, all that stuff is very, very cool. And I'd love to be able to play with that stuff, because I could, you know, but it's just, like you said, too expensive. And it's funny on that report too. I can't remember what the exact number was, Eric, but how many marketers weren't going to do anything about it. We're just going to, I mean,
it's
really.
It's still down low on people's, you know, it was the biggest, obviously, we were all at social media marketing world. That's all. Everybody was like, Snapchat. Everybody has to be in, you know, you have to be all in on Snapchat. And I do like it. But I think from a small business, like, I wouldn't say go join Snapchat immediately, because I do not see it's there.
I don't see the value.
I think it's fun and it's brand awareness, but really vague brand awareness at this point. It's not, you're not going to get the same value at this point as you would on Instagram or Facebook. Do you guys think so?
No, not at this point. Yeah. And I think this is such another important aspect of everything we're talking about, which is Understanding where your audience is spending their time and not just leaping for the sake of leaping because everybody else is doing it, but having a solid business purpose behind making those decisions, you know, dependent on the age range of your audience. Are they spending time on Snapchat? And is it worth you taking this huge leap of faith and concerted effort and putting a whole lot of time into an emerging network, which it most certainly still is, without knowing what the true value to your business is going to be.
Well,
which I think was Instagram, right? That's where we all were with Instagram 2 years ago.
Definitely.
And I think if it goes more mainstream, that, I mean, like, if now if I had a client that was that was catering to, like, you know, kids' shoes or something, you know, really trendy shoes or outfit or whatever, then yeah, be on Snapchat because that's where your market is. They're seeing that stuff. They're consuming that content. They're sharing that content. But yeah, if like just for me to go and say to a local flower shop, you got to be on Snapchat because everyone's on it. That doesn't, people buying flowers aren't going to be on Snapchat. So,
And you have to constantly feed Snapchat to stay at the top of that little, you know, it's very time consuming. Number one, you know, to come up with like what to put on Snapchat as a brand. There's really great content there, though. I mean, the content creators that are even the ones that did, you know, did like awesome drawing and art and stuff before there was other features. The people that like evolved on there to do really awesome visual storytelling are like, you know, the 1% of people that can do that kind of creative, like awesome thinking. But for most people, that's going to be a big challenge. And you have to do it live. So it's just, you know, at 1 o'clock, we're going to do, if you guys have worked with big brands, it's like, you know, they want to plan everything down to the second and have, you know, months of meetings to discuss it. It would like, that would be the most stale snap ever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Six months later, you actually get it done.
Yay.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting to me to see, and this kind of goes along with what I said earlier, which is how many people are still struggling with tactics and engagement being their top struggles. Eric, what was the, were there more details around that as far as, you know, what marketers are really needing help with within their business?
I would say first and foremost, it's still very much measurement. That's one of the things that, I mean, even Mike said it from the keynote stage was, you know, how, and I can't break down the percentages, but I mean, I have them right here, but whatever. It's that,
of course you do.
It's that there's the group that knows what they're doing. There's the group that doesn't know. And then there's the group that has no clue. And two of the three of those are in a bad place. It's very much measurement for most part.
Yeah, measurement. I think it's been a struggle from day one because, first of all, if we were early adopters, we had no idea what we were supposed to be measuring. So it was kind of figuring it out along the way. And then as all of these new tools emerge, as all of these new social networks come out, it's adjusting and identifying, you know, what you're supposed to be measuring. And I think that's where people get tripped up too, is in measuring what they think matters and not what actually makes a difference to the bottom line of your business.
I ultimately, everybody wants to know what is going to work, regardless of platform, what's going to work, and then, you know, point me to it, show me what to do, tell me, and I'll do it. And it changed, like we said earlier, it keeps changing. So
I think in a lot of ways all businesses confuse marketing and sales. You know, sales are 100%, you know, measurable, and marketing isn't. It's just a fact of life. Even in traditional marketing, you could never tell how many mailers you got back, you know, how many people, you know, it's just marketing is not sales. So it's, you're not going to get, you know, you can't tell how many people looked at your, you know, movie poster in the lobby or things like that. It's, so it's a bigger challenge, you know, and they want, you know, they, meaning the people, you know, whoever, the companies or the clients or whoever, you know, it's hard to know what they should, to what they should measure. That's part of the thing, is what is important to measure. But then the tactics to get to reach the measurements too. Like it's all, yeah. I think that's where a lot of people get like, okay, well, I'm overwhelmed already. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and we, as an industry, I think glorified vanity metrics for so long that there became that perception that it was all about those vanity metrics. And so, and I think that was perpetuated by social media managers or agencies or whoever, you know, telling big brands, hey, this is how we're going to measure, you know, how many likes and shares and things of that nature. So it's, I think, pulling back that guise or that veil of, hey, no, this isn't what you actually should be, you know, paying attention to, because what does any of that matter? Who cares if somebody liked your post? If you don't get consistent engagement that turns into a conversion, who cares? So it's really figuring out what you're trying to attempt to.
Yeah. Like
I saw an interesting study that showed big brands that had purchased, you know, working with influencers that had huge numbers, like Kardashian numbers. And they found that the people that had more value were people that were like 100,000 followers, more than people that had millions. The people, it was, I think it was 10,000 to 100,000 on a platform, because they had a really small engaged audience as opposed to people with millions who they don't know who any of the people are. They don't, you know. So it was really interesting that, you know, somebody actually looked at it from that kind of standpoint, like who's clicking and buying, you know. And it's the I'm saying smaller, quote unquote, because 10,000 is still a lot of followers, you know, it really is. Like, numbers have gotten so inflated that we just, you know, it was only 25,000 people. It's like, if you saw 25,000 people somewhere, that's a lot of people.
Right. People would kill for that number right now. Some of us out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, and going back to what we talked about with video before, I think, you know, when people say, oh, I did a video and only had 40 people show up. I'm like, if you had 40 people show up to a talk that you just did on, you know, you would be thrilled. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're first starting your show and when you're first, you know, doing stuff, it's having those numbers, just be more consistent than worrying about numbers, I would say.
Yeah, I'm like, so, one person. Yay. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for coming to my show. I got on Jeff.
Well, and that goes back to those metrics too, of wouldn't you rather have a smaller group of people that truly care about what you're talking about and are your potential clients, right, than thousands of people that they're never going to buy from you?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. So, Eric,
here's a question with vanity metrics though, before we go off of that one, like how do you balance that? Like if, so, you know, how do you explain that those numbers don't really, you know, when there's somebody who shows up and you know they didn't actually do the work, right? Compared to Twitter accounts of someone who's been tweeting constantly for, you know, a long time, they have a really good following, compared to someone with, you know, they're following 100 people, they have 200 tweets, but they have 100,000 followers. So we know that's not real. Like, that can't just happen. How do you explain that, the metrics then, to people? Like,
look at their engagement.
That just can't happen.
I would say look at the engagement.
Or if they're if they're famous, I get it. Like, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's different. We're not counting celebs, because they can show up and, you know, have however many followers overnight because they're on a TV show. That's cool. You know, that's different. But marketers who then are selling, you know, how to be awesome on Twitter services, that's different.
I used to go when I first started and go and look at how they replied to people to see if that was something I would want to follow. I would go when I didn't have anybody following me. I'd go and, you know, if I wanted to follow this person, like if I looked at Peg, I'd go, oh, Peg talks to people. She actually answers questions, you know, and so I would follow you. And so I think that would be a way to measure that is, you know, I don't really care about following famous people unless they're really putting out great content, but I want people who will, you know, talk with me,
talk back.
Actually,
I'll talk back to
you. She does. She does talk back.
Anytime, right?
All the time.
Well, and I think it does come down to education. Wouldn't you agree that it's helping people understand, you know, that, yeah, vanity metrics from an outside looking in might look nice, and they probably give you the warm fuzzies where you're like, high five, you know, I got, you know, 500 likes on this post. And you can ooh and ah over that and tell your friends, you know, how many shares you get. But what they don't tell is the whole story, you know, or even a complete story. And I think that's what you guys are talking about, is being able to see, you know, what is the complete story, and how do we get to the bottom of that? And that's where you start figuring out, you know, what do I need to know about my business? What do I need to know is moving the needle on my business every single day? And so those actionable metrics that are, you know, specific, trackable, everything we talk about every single day, is that stuff that we can capture, we can digest, we can really cull through and then figure out, you know, is this the right direction that we're heading in, and make more informed decisions. And for me, that's what it's all about, is the education and the informed decisions. You know, is the data you're looking at enabling you to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for most people, you get lost in that warm, fuzzy feeling and the actionable piece.
Right. And then if we go back to the beginning and talking about Facebook, that's where kind of the hard part of Facebook comes in, because you can't organically grow your Facebook page anymore, like literally can't, without some type of paid promotion. So that's kind of it's a little hard to swallow, not just because I don't mind promoting stuff, but it's like hard to know that like my hard work and my creativity and my awesome content doesn't do the same thing that it used to. Like, that's just a little hard, like as a marketer, you know?
Yeah.
So that's hard to like explain to people that the tactics have changed for Facebook. You can't just grow it. Like, you can promote other things and that will get page likes, or you can, you know, promote your page to get likes or do videos to get more, but
right.
It's not just going to spontaneously happen by the way that we used to do it, which would just be great content, a lot of great content, being consistent, engaging, answering all the questions. You know, it's hard to evolve that way when your hard work can't pull you through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to touch on the stuff that Rebecca was talking about before, and then what you just mentioned on growing your page, I think video is going to change a lot of stuff, because, you know, everybody, we always talk about people do business with people they know, like, and trust. Well, when you get on video or you watch somebody do video, you can pretty much sum up that person pretty quickly. You know, if they're not shifty or trying to sell you something, or they're telling the truth and, you know, stumbling over their words even can tell you about somebody, you know, they're putting themselves out there. So I think that's going to change a lot of stuff on how people trust, you know, one another. And it may get to the point where if they're not doing video, you're kind of like, it's almost like if, you know, you don't trust a website that doesn't have a physical address, you know, and it may get to the point where if they're not doing video ever and I never get to see their face, then I may not do business with them. So I'm really wondering about, because, you know, so much engagement happens with these shows and video. And I mean, I would not be anywhere where I am today if I wouldn't have done video back in the day.
Well, and Jeff, that may not even be a conscious thing that you suddenly decide, if they're not doing video, I'm not doing business with them. It's it's a subconscious thing. It's like how when people just push out tweet after tweet after tweet that's promoting their brand new thing, you start to subconsciously mentally skip over each tweet until at some point they become background and you just don't notice anymore that you've not seen them, even though you have. And that's what's going to happen in the future, is those of us who excel at being live and in the moment and have practiced our true voice of being ourselves on camera as well as in audio form and all those things. I mean, not to knock visuals too, but that as well, I don't do that, but you know, that is what's going to rise to the top. I mean, it's shows like this. It's people being in front of you, being authentic. And that's what you've got to get out there and practice in public, I would say.
Right.
Yeah. And also know what you're going to talk about. You know, providing value and speaking in your area of expertise is important. But if you're just going to be on video just to be on video, it's boring for people if you don't have something relevant to say. Right. But everybody does have something. You just need to find what it is. I'm not saying that everybody does. I mean, no, there's all different kinds of things. I mean, there's so many different types of YouTube channels. There's stuff like My Drunk Kitchen. A girl cooks and she drinks. Who thought of that? Hannah Hart. She's amazing now. Oh, like, why should we ever think of that?
I've seen that. It's hilarious.
She's awesome. It's those kind of things. It's like Jenna Marbles, like one of the number one people. She just made the stupidest video. Her first one, she swears. She's like showing people how to put makeup on, but not like in the makeup tutorial way. And, you know, she's just goofy. She makes fun of herself.
It's embracing who you are, what you love, what you're passionate about, and then figuring out how you can bring that to people in an authentic way. I think that's so important. I know that within this industry, we kind of have poo-pooed that word because we're like, authentic. We've talked about it so much.
Yeah.
I think
it's
more important today than ever, though.
It is.
We're getting into video, and wouldn't you say, as you were talking about how important it is to be able to see people, that that's a very cultural thing too. Different countries put, I think, a little bit more emphasis or importance on seeing you or hearing you and having that kind of rapport that goes well beyond the text of Twitter or, you know, the latest article you put on your blog. So I think what else we're missing is if you have a international reach, not just the local businesses, how important video is to create that bridge between you and your audience.
Well, we forget that everybody in the world isn't like marketers like us. We're online all the time.
Yeah.
We're like, just get on camera. Jeez. And then you get it out and people are like, what? You want me to be on camera? Like people in the real world that actually leave their computers and do things like shopping or they
Not just on Amazon.
It's funny though. Like I think we're like ahead of where the rest of everything else is going, which is good and bad. You know, like there's a lot to be said for having lunch with someone in person too. But, you know, it is, as Eric said, and you just mentioned, it's just being able to translate yourself naturally is the authenticity. But it is hard for some people because they get nervous. You know, they might get nervous on camera or even writing is hard for people. Some people are just scared to even like post on Facebook or Twitter when we don't really think about that. If you're like really outgoing, you don't think, oh my God, who's going to read this? I hardly ever think that. Like I know my level of like, I don't post inappropriate things or swearing or like all those kind of things. But aside from that, I'm just like, I never think, how is this going to be? Like, I'm just like, ha ha ha, I tweet it, you know? So other people don't have that comfort level. You know, they need to like work into it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a reason that the Chewbacca lady went viral because she wasn't trying to sell anything.
Yeah.
She was just on there and she was going to share it with her friends and what she thought was funny. And that's why it worked. And that's why it even makes me just laugh thinking about it because she was, Coles did a great job of coming right behind that. And I thought that was a good lesson for brands, but that's the thing. How we've got to learn as marketers, not always to do marketing, or if we do marketing, do it in a way that is entertaining and educational at the same time, like you mentioned before, Peg, and not try to be fake and try to, don't go get a Chewbacca mask and try to market to people and try to be funny. Just leave it alone.
She was just so funny. Like when she was like, y'all got to wait a minute. It's worth it. Like she's just like trying to open it and you just can't.
It's authentic. That was totally in the moment. Yeah. But somebody who's doing, I think, something similar and a good job of that is Holly Homer does a crafting with crap Facebook Live thing where she has like 20 minutes to craft something. Her and one of her blogging partners have to create something in 20 minutes with crap stuff. And it's just funny because they're bannering, but it's still in their channel, you know, their niche kind of thing. And so it's, I thought that was genius. And so things like that, I think, are what work. And because it's authentic, but it's also, it fits in their channel. So I thought that was a good example.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, and what is it? I can never think of the name, but, it, you know, singing in cars.
James Corden.
Thank you.
I love him.
James Corden. Okay. Those are brilliant. I who would have thought, hey, I'm going to ride with a celebrity and sing a goofy song. But they're fantastic. And they're, as much as they probably practice, they're off the cuff is the way they feel. They're just very comfortable. So it's finding your own groove. It's finding something that's fun, that's interesting to you, because more than likely, if it's fun and interesting to you, it's going to be the same for at least you hope for your audience. That they're going to enjoy it as well. And this is always such a you're such a great example of this, Jeff, and starting the Manly Pinterest show where, you know, who would have thought that, you know, seeing an opportunity of, hey, a whole bunch of guys aren't spending time on, you know, Pinterest, and how do we encourage them and get them excited about it? And now you've turned it into, you know, this industry.
Well, I don't know if it's an industry, but it's your fun. And Mike Alton is on here. And
it's
the bearded kingdom.
He was one of the first Manly Pinterest Tips guys. And it was funny. We all did it. We all these guys had more followings than me. And we just said, hey, let's do a show on Google Plus. And then it just kind of went crazy. So it's been a fun ride. So
yeah,
2 years right fun. Here.
There you go. It's finding that moment, your moment, and seizing it and not feeling afraid or embarrassed or holding back because you're not sure what people will think. And I think we all do that. And I know, Peg, we've talked a lot about this. What advice would you give businesses that are ready to pull the trigger, you know, whether it's getting into Instagram or Snapchat or live streaming video, anything we've talked about? What would your biggest piece of advice be to those people that are a little scared, they're nervous?
I would say, you know, don't necessarily swim with the stream and go where everybody else is going that's popular, but really look at where your target audience is and who you want your clients to be and figure out where they are. But that may not be where everybody else is. You know, I tried Pinterest, you know, with a company, and it was totally wrong for them. Like, it's wrong industry. It's just not going to work. Like, I love Pinterest, but just because you love it doesn't mean it's going to work for everything. So just because everybody says X is popular doesn't mean X is popular for what you want to do. So, you know, think individually and not just swim with the stream. You know, it's hard. I think it's hard because everybody wants to do what everybody else is doing. But I think that doing what's best for your business is smartest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's been kind of the theme of this entire show is find your own rhythm, your own voice, do your own thing. And you're going to be far more successful, you know, doing that. Before we go, I wanted to touch on what is probably one of the top struggles I hear on a daily basis from businesses, marketers, entrepreneurs, you name it, which is time management and really knowing how to manage all that you've got going on. Eric, do you have some of those stats there in front of you?
Yeah, let me pull that up here.
I think it was.
I can just say that, you know, one of the things while I'm getting to it, I forget which page that was on.
56, I think.
There we go.
I'd like to know who the people who are marketers that are on an hour a week are. Come on. An hour a week.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like,
that's
right?
A day. That's not even a day. Yeah.
I'm on an hour at every hour. What are you talking
about? Yeah, I know, right?
I'm on an hour by hour basis here. So, you
how
know.
Many hours are there? That's how many I'm
which,
on.
Which page did you say? It was
56.
So it's the last page. 56 is the last page, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, we only have two more minutes in our hour for the day of social media.
There you go.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 15. Sorry, I was looking at the
wrong that's way different. zooming.
That's a five.
Zooming. There we go. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. So 63% are saying that they are using social media for 6 hours or more. That sounds about right.
A week?
Weekly. 6 hours. Well, so that sounds completely false. I use 6 hours a day at least.
Yeah. Six hours is like a half day.
That's right. I mean, come on.
It was also interesting to compare. There was something with new marketers and older marketers.
Yeah.
They had different lengths of time on that. Mm-hmm. So like if they were new marketers, they started, they didn't spend much time on it, but marketers have been going for a while. They spent a lot of time on it. So, cause we're all old.
It's
kind of a bummer though. When you think about it,
I know you think you'd be faster at it, but
19% of marketers say they spend more than 20 hours each week on social media. And I would say that there are some liars here.
Yeah. Well, I think also the thing is the more that you're on it, the more effective you see the different channels working. And so, and then you get more clients. And so you're on it more because you're taking care of other clients and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see that, you think you get faster at it. And I think you probably do. You just have more clients that you have to work through. So,
I was thinking that, it's directly related though. The people who are saying that they don't spend as much time are also the ones who aren't seeing as the results that are as good. I mean, unfortunately that's kind of how it is with social media. It is time consuming because even when you work really smart, as I'm sure all of us do, that are, social media examiner fans, we've all been to the conference, we read the blog posts, we are working, doing our best. But you still have to check on stuff all the time. That's the thing. Like when you're really committed, you're checking the comments to make sure there's not spam or links or, that your links are working and that, there's so much to always, it's babysitting too.
Yeah. Well, and there's some there's some that have probably gotten better at jumping in and jumping out. And so maybe they are only spending 6 hours a week because they've gone in and they've scheduled stuff. They have set times to check on things and then they're working with their analytics. I hope to get to there someday.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we are hitting our hour. I know we could keep talking forever. Let's wrap it up by just sharing your biggest piece of advice. So you said, Eric, we've got June to kind of go through this entire report, figure out our new focus, our new strategy from July to December. Then we just have to kill it. So in doing that, let's start with you, Peg. What would your biggest piece of advice be to those people that are looking to just, knock it out of the park for the remaining months of the year?
One that I always go to that's a standard is look at what's working and what's not, and don't be afraid to get rid of the ones that aren't working. Just because it's what everybody else is doing, like I already said, doesn't mean it's the best thing for your clients or for what you're doing. So don't be afraid to not be on Snapchat if it doesn't seem to be reaching anybody that's a client, unless you just want to talk to other people doing the same thing as you, which isn't really a business, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. How about you, Eric?
I would say make sure that you're looking at the analytics and do it day in, day out. I've had recent things where I wasn't looking as closely, partly due to the fact that we were gearing up and then gearing down from the conference, and kind of missed some key indicators that I needed to look a little closer at something, and we fixed it, but should have known sooner. So keeping an eye on the ball and checking in on a daily and weekly and monthly basis and marking it down and saying, okay, here's where we were last week with this. Here's where it is this week. What is it up? Is it down? Why? Let's figure this out.
Yeah, great advice. Keep your eye on the ball. All right, Jeff, you're up.
That's right. When I started Manly Pinterest Tips, I told everybody, I said, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail spectacularly. And so I would say, don't be afraid to fail spectacularly and then move on to the next thing. One of my favorite quotes is by John Acuff, and he says, 80% perfect and shared with the world always changes more lives than 100% perfect and stuck in your head.
So I love that.
Go out and do it. And, if you fail, you fail. But, move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of that idea of good is good enough.
Right.
Better to get it out there in the market and know whether or not your audience is even interested in it or not. Yeah, you just have no way of knowing.
Yeah, well, designers. Go ahead.
No, no, no.
I was gonna say, as designers, I know both you and Peg are, and Eric is he's a good time managed person, but it's easy to get so focused on something that you never want to change it. You know, you can work on that design forever. You can never finish that logo. So
yeah. Oh, that's that is so true. You can just get stuck in that fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it mode, right, and never really actually pull the trigger on it. And I think that's another great piece of advice, is just get out there and do it. I know we've talked about staying focused and understanding where your market is, and I think mine would be a challenge in just finding one thing that would make a huge difference and a big impact immediately on your business. It could be video, it could be live streaming, and don't be afraid, as you said, Jeff, to just step out there and do it. And for video and live streaming, I think for me, it's being comfortable in your surroundings. So, and it's comfortable with your content. And Peg, you mentioned that. So, you know, make it simple on yourself. Go take a look at your Google Analytics. All right, I'm going to tie everybody's tip together. Look at your Google Analytics, look at your top trafficked posts, and use that as a tip for your first live stream. And be in a comfortable situation where you're not out and about and you don't have a bunch of people going on around you, and then practice and get on and just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be difficult, any of it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Except for Facebook Business Manager. That's difficult. Yeah. I'll tie it back to the beginning.
There you go. Right. And we've come full circle. Well, thank you guys. Awesome conversation just around the report, obviously. And I know we shared it a couple of times, but everybody should check out that report. Take a look at, you know, what are marketers doing now? What's working within their business, and really the state of social media marketing as it stands in 2016. I think it's pretty eye-opening. It was surprising to me in a lot of different ways. And I think will really help you adjust your focus as you're going forward. So everybody, tell us where they should connect with you.
Everywhere.
At the same time?
Everywhere.
You can go ahead.
Peg, go for it.
I'm Peg Fitzpatrick everywhere. So come to my blog, click on the links. There's lots of stuff.
Shop the store.
I don't have a store. I'm going to go make a store because everyone else has one.
Nice.
There you go.
Eric?
Eric with a K, the letter J, F-I-S-H-E-R, everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere you want to be.
Yes.
Jeff?
And you can find me at manlypinteresttips.com, where we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time.
Very nice. All right. And I'm at Rebecca Radice everywhere, RebeccaRadice.com. Thank you to everybody that joined us here today. Would love to continue this conversation. So you can find us across social media, tweet us. I guess we've talked about every single social network, haven't we, here today? We've canvassed them all. So wherever you're comfortable, make sure you connect with us. And thanks again to every single person that was here or is watching the replay. We appreciate it. Take care, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.